Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Looking at the apostleship of Paul, as given to us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, we are considering the subject of leadership. We read in Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. An apostle is an officer designated by Jesus Christ for a particular purpose in the foundation days of the establishment of the church. Christ ordained 12 apostles. Christ ordained Paul as an apostle, and Paul exercised his office with the responsibilities and authority that were given to him by God for that very purpose. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. But beyond that one particular office, there are other offices or other areas of leadership also established by the will of God. In the home, in the area of civil government, in society, in the workplace, and in the church, those four areas in particular. The home, civil government, the workplace, and the church. And all of these have an authority structure that has been established by the will of God. I can say that I am a husband and a father by the will of God. Those who serve in government with positions of authority can say that they have those positions by the will of God. Those who are employers can say that they are employers by the will of God, and likewise employees. And those who have leadership positions in the church, elders and deacons, can say they are in their office by the will of God. I have several areas of responsibility. I am a husband by the will of God. I am an elder by the will of God. And in our church, where we do have employees, I also serve as something of an employer. Another position of authority by the will of God. Though I don't exercise that role all by myself, but there are certain elements that relate to that, the relationship of employer to employee. And so all of these are offices ordained by God. And we need to understand this structure and this appointment and the duties that are assigned to them. And we need to examine good examples like the Apostle Paul to learn how to exercise Christ-like leadership. And that's what we're doing on the Beacon Broadcast on this Tuesday, August 25. I'm glad you're with us today, and I thank those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to minister on this station. Well, along with the establishment of these various offices or positions of authority, God has given instructions for how they are to operate. And he's given instructions both to those who have been given authority and those who are placed under authority. So he tells followers how to follow, whether wives, children, employees, citizens, or Christians in the church. And he tells leaders how to lead, whether husbands, fathers, employers, government officials, or spiritual leaders in the church. All of this is spelled out in the Word of God. But as we pointed out on the broadcast yesterday, when it comes to authorities, the instructions are more often on how not to abuse the authority than how to exercise it with, what should I say, with rigor, with force, with a recognition that you have this authority over other people. But more often than not, the biblical instruction is be gentle, be careful, be kind, be considerate, be loving in your exercise of authority. Just the opposite of the way the world often exercises authority, just the opposite of the way that natural men, unconverted men, often exercise authority and even how they think about authority. But this is the way God tells His people to exercise authority. And we're not to follow the world. We're to follow Christ in these matters. And so, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, husbands are told to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. That's a pretty high standard. I don't know many husbands who feel that they have achieved that standard of requirement for the office of a husband. Are any of you husbands that I'm talking to today in a place where you feel like you have loved your wife as much as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her? If not, and I'll be the first one to confess that I haven't, if not, then we've got some work to do, don't we? We haven't yet met up, we haven't yet lived up to the requirement that God has given to us in our role as husbands. An authority role, to be sure, but see how the Bible tells us to exercise it in Christian love. Oh, so many things along these lines. Husbands. I'll skip husbands and go on to employers. Notice how Paul instructs employers to relate to their employees in Colossians 4:1. He says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Nothing here about the authority that you've got over your employees. In fact, here he's talking about masters who own slaves. You talk about a relationship in which the master had absolute authority and the employee had virtually none, no rights whatsoever. This was it in the terrible institution of slavery that existed in the Roman world. But how does God tell Christian masters to relate to their servants? Here it is. "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." What is just and fair? Not what you can get by with, not what the law will back you up on, because the law will give total authority to the master and virtually no rights to the slave. But what is just and fair in the Christian context? He's talking here to Christians. And while you're thinking about it, think about how you want your master in heaven to treat you. If you're not sure what is just and fair and kind and the way that you ought to treat your employees, then think about the way you want God to treat you now and when you stand before Him someday. If you know anything at all about your true condition and what you really deserve and how far you've fallen short of God's requirements and how you, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, have not yet done all that He has required of you, and Jesus told us to think of ourselves in that vein, as servants, that when we've done everything that we've been told, we still haven't done all that we should have done, all that we're required to do. So what do we want from our Master in heaven? We want loving kindness. We want grace. We want forgiveness. We want exceeding consideration. Well, that's the way you exercise your authority as a master, as an employer, as a supervisor, as a boss. That's the way you do it. I've observed some Christian businessmen who are more harsh and ruthless and cruel and demanding on their employees, than many of the unsaved business owners that I have known. Something wrong with that picture. Christians should be the kindest, most considerate, most generous employers in the world. But many times they're not. Why not? Because they're not paying attention to what the Bible tells them. I know Christian businessmen who consider themselves to be great models of what it means to be a Christian. They're very, very proud of their Christianity, of their Christian profession, of their Christian involvement, of how much money they give to the Lord's work and so forth. Well, they're very proud of these things and consider themselves to be very exemplary. But I also, in some of these cases, know some of the people who work for them, and I know how unreasonable they can be and how they require them to work long, hard hours and don't pay them fairly for all that extra work they do. They find ways to put them on a salary rather than on an hourly wage so they don't have to pay them overtime. And then every week expect them, require them to work 50, 60, sometimes 70 hours when they're paying them a salary that for a 40-hour week might be a reasonable salary, but for the number of hours that they require of them is not. It's not reasonable at all. They ought to be paying them half again as much, maybe even close to double, probably double what they're paying them if they wanted to really be fair. As the Bible requires, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. And the point being this, the God who has established these areas of human authority has also given instructions as to how that authority is to be exercised. So husbands, exercise your authority over your wife with the greatest Christ-like love. Fathers, exercise your authority over your children with the greatest restraint. Don't provoke them to wrath. Employers, exercise your authority over your employees with the greatest kindness and justness and fairness. Let it never be said that you are an unjust employer. I keep getting those two words mixed up. But let it always be said, that's an employer who is fair and kind. And the same is true for government officials. How are they to exercise their authority? Well, we'll have to look at that on the broadcast tomorrow because I'm running out of time. But the Bible gives us instructions for all of these, and church leaders, spiritual leaders. We'll look at that tomorrow as well and see what it is that God requires of these different positions of authority. Our concepts of authority and how it is to be exercised need to be shaped by the Word of God. So join me tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.